very good. Just check, I got my little mobile here. Yeah, great. Okay, there's a little slide coming up that will just say something about who I am. I'm Roger, and as was just said, I was here the day that Stroud Christian Fellowship formed. I moved over from a place called Astoncote near Witney in Oxfordshire, our pastor at the time was encouraging us, God wants to move people to different places, and we were, Di and I were praying about what should we be doing, and I felt God say, go to the hill country. And I thought, well, is that Scotland? And then he said, go as an encourager. And I thought, oh, I could do that. And then my wife, lovely Di, she was in a meeting, and some people came over from Stroud. And Di said, do you know, when those people came from Stroud, I felt God say, we've got to go to Stroud. I thought, oh, no, that's a load of rubbish. Come on, that's it. We'd Stroud. I just got a job here and everything. And then when I saw the Lord a bit more, I said, okay, let's visit Stroud. And then I realized all the hills around. And I thought, okay. And then Steve explained that a Stroud Christian Fellowship was being formed and they needed people to help and come as encouragers. So we moved over to here. That was 42 years ago, something like that, a little while back. And they were exciting days. We used to meet in the pop-in. So I've got a bit of history here. So, this is me. This is my lovely wife. She's back home. I've just had a 70th birthday. We had a barn dance at Cayley. That's why we're dressed like that. And I've got a bit of a family. I've got my son on the left has two twin grandchildren. His marriage has failed, but he's just got engaged to this lovely Indian lady, Rina. And down below is my older son, Chris, who's married to a Polish lady. We like to get a bit of sort of culture in our family. And Chris is in Swindon. With us. Ola has just started her course of training as in medicine and is actually in Poland some of the time and some of the time here. And this is the fellowship that I'm pastor of in Swindon, Swindon Community Church. This is a little crowd of us. We're quite a small group. So if I saw a room full like this, I would have thought, revival's come, look at this, it's wonderful. But they pay me 3 days a week, and I do lots of stuff. So there's those wonderful people from Swindon Community Church. We have a lady there, second along from the left at the top. She is just, last year, in the Guinness Book of Records. She is the fastest woman to run the marathon in Wellington boots. Nobody else. And there's a guy that's run it in Wellington boots, and he's in the Guinness Book of the Records, but there's nobody else that's done a better time than her. So anyway. Oh yeah, that's me climbing a wall. Oh yeah, this is things I love. I love my wife. I love praying for people. And I love mending bikes. And that's me at the back there on my brother's shoulders. My brother inspired me to mend bikes. And so one of the things I did when I moved to Swindon from Henley, I had a sort of little bike business. Towards the end of me being a pastor, I did less time and knew a younger couple came to lead the fellowship. I thought, how do I serve my community? And I thought, felt God say to me, what have you got in your hand? And I said, well, I'm good at mending bikes. And so I set up this little stall outside the shops where I live, Tadpole Garden Village, and I said, free bike repairs, put up my little table and my stuff. Nobody came. nobody responded. And there was a guy going down there on his bike with flat tires. So I chased him down the road with my pump, my electric pump, and chased him down the road and said, "No, your tires are flat, let me pump it." He said, no. And he said, "How much does it cost?" I said, "Nothing, it's free." And he said, "Can you mend my brakes as well?" So I mended his brakes there on the spot, and he went away happy. And I was happy because I'd served someone that started. And anyway, next week, as I was going by, a whole lot of guys from the school, you know, shout, "Hello, Roger!" You know, they sort of said it slightly mockingly. And I said, "How do you know my name?" He said, "You mended our friend's bike." And they came for their bike repairs. And so what started was a little free bike repair service, serving my community, and then telling them about church. And I've ended up praying for some people. And now some people come to our church because of free bike repairs. And that's me. And a guy who runs the Porsche Club in Swindon in the Wiltshire area, he says, "I like what you're doing." He's not a Christian. He says, "I've done all the bike sort of training and everything, but I can't volunteer anyway. Can I come and help you?" I said, "Yes, please." So some weeks we mend 10 or 11 bikes in 2 hours, and on Monday afternoon. And it's something that we just love doing for the community, and God's using it for him. Anyway, enough about me. I want to go on and just share a little bit about the way Jesus responded to the crowds and the people around. And I'd like to just talk a little bit about the way Jesus healed all those who came to him. In Matthew 15, 29 to 31, is this beautiful little passage where people came to Jesus. And I need my little thing here, because I'm looking at the back there and my eyes are not good enough. I've reached 70 and not quite good enough to see at the back there. Jesus went from there and came to the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up to the mountain and sat down. Many people came to him. They brought with them those who were not able to walk. They brought those who were not able to see. They brought those who were not able to hear or to speak, and many others. Then they put them at the feet of Jesus, and he healed them. All the people wondered. They saw how those who could not speak were talking. They saw those who could not walk were now walking. They saw how those who could not see were now seeing. And they gave thanks to the God of the Jews. Can you imagine being there on that day when all that was happening? And people had brought their little kids and their children. Some of them were deaf, some of them weren't able to speak, and some of them not even able to walk. And they brought their friends, and they brought their mums and their dads who were there trying to look after because they've got. And they got them in the front of Jesus' feet. You know, there must have been crowds. In those days, they probably didn't line up like English people in an old queue or waiting their turn. They just crowded in and tried to get them at the feet of Jesus. And every one of those ones who were sick and ill, Jesus touched them, spoke to the sickness, and it went. So kids who would come in all not able to walk started walking. And those who couldn't see just started being able to see and looking around. Then it must have, you know, I just get excited. I don't know if you do, but Jesus did all these things. Now, the big question is Jesus able to do that today? So let me go back to that picture. I've been with some doctors and some nurses who have been in the those units where people are on monitors because their lives are not, you know, they're not going to see it through. And they've been able to pray quietly because they don't want to, you know, risk their jobs and everything, and they've been able to pray and see miraculous turnarounds. I've been in one of those situations where a lady was expected to die, and then God, her mum asked me to come and pray over her daughter, and we we spoke words from a psalm, you will not die but live. And she came through, and she got, you know, there's, God wants to do it today. God, I believe, loves doing it today. So this is another little bit from Luke. Luke 6:19. Let me just get this one. This is another lovely one. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming out of him and healing them. What does it say? All. So I just want to start somewhere. I want to start with a God who loves healing people and who is capable, whatever our difficulties are, of healing all. He's able to do it. He's a miracle working God. He's a powerful God. Okay. So how does this come about? I believe it comes about as we, the people of God, have an intimate relationship with God. So it's out of our intimacy with Jesus that he empowers us and speaks, and people get healed, people get touched. I was just saying about that, about speaking. Is Lily around? Yeah, Lily at the back there. When you came today, I just felt God wanted to speak to you today. And I just had these words, battle and breakthrough. And I felt God saying, you've been in a battle, but God's giving you breakthrough. He's coming. And he's breaking through in your situation. And you've been asking and crying out and in a battle to see provision, both emotionally and financially. And God's saying, I have answers for you, and I'm bringing you through a battle into a place of breakthrough. And you're going to see the provision and love of God coming to you. He's answering prayer. It's a bit like this wonderful word that came to your prayers have not expired. That was great. And a door opening. You know, all those words are so relevant today. God's opening doors. He's speaking. He's coming to you. And so it's out of intimacy with Jesus that words come, he speaks, and the love of God comes. But then we've got a problem. British people, Western people have got a problem. We've got big disappointments. Because we've done this before. When we prayed before. And we've been pretty disappointed. Hands up if you've ever been disappointed in your Christian life. As you've prayed, and oh look, I'm speaking to people who know something about this. Prayer's not getting answered. And then we hear exaggerated claims of preachers and people that do healing and stories about it. And we think it's probably better not to be involved in all that. Probably better not to get disappointed. So we don't try. But the problem is, if we never reach out and try and have a go, we never get the opportunity to see things happen. You see, some people say to me, yeah, but Roger, all this praying and this healing stuff, and you're suggesting that it can happen right now, and it can happen with our neighbors and friends, it can happen even on the street, it can happen in cafes. It says, listen, the thing is, there's so many that don't get healed. But I say to them, yeah, but what about the people that do get healed? Isn't it worth having a go for the people that do get healed? And then trying to figure out a little bit and say, okay, and then some don't. And okay, so what's God saying this? And the little scripture that's helped me from Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. That guy's looking in a box. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. And over the journey, I've been pastoring now for 43 years, something like that. On the journey, God's given us some revelations. He's given us understanding. He's given us some miracles, you know, some years ago, but some quite up-to-date ones as well. So I thought, this is why I was getting my phone, because somebody texted me a couple of days ago, and he wanted me to know something, because I've been to Abingdon, and I'm just trying to get it on my WhatsApp. Here we go. We loved having you with us that morning, and so many were encouraged. One lady shared this last Sunday, after me being there the week before, that for weeks, if not months, she had had back issues, so much so that she had gone to see a chiropractor who told her that she had one leg shorter than the other. The Sunday that you were there, we all prayed for her, and on the following Monday, she went back to the chiropractor and had an x-ray. And she was told by the chiropractor that her back was healed. You don't get that from chiropractors normally. And that she didn't need to come back for at least 8 weeks. Amazingly, God is good. Amazing, God is good. So this lady just responded in the meeting, because I was telling stories about it. I was encouraging people to have a go. If you're locked up in something, there can be a fresh door. Open the door and see what Jesus will do. So out of this passage, I want to give you three little bits of keys, as it were, that can open up more. And this is the first one. We need to be people that go, and the people who want to get healed, they need to go as well. It's all about doing something. It's all about responding. If you got a complaint with the Lord and you just sit watching a television and says, nothing ever happens to me, I don't get my prayers answered, you know, I want to be healed, but nothing happens, I'd say to you, well, what about making an attempt to go to a faith-filled event? Or what about going, at least, you know, James says, if any of you is sick amongst you, call the elders of the church. That means getting your mobile out and ring and say, listen, I need some help. Come and pray for me. And there's a going and there's a us going. Sorry, too much energy, Fred. You're too excited. Just quiet down. Many people came to him. They brought with them those who are not able to walk. They brought those who had not been able to see. They brought with those not able to speak, and many others. And they put them at the feet of Jesus, and he healed them. There's a doing, isn't there? There's a going, there's a doing, there's a reaching out. And secondly, you've got that lovely story in Mark chapter 5, 34. And Jesus talks, you know, that woman, she reached out, she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed from that issue of blood that she'd been suffering from for many years. Daughter, he says, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be healed from your suffering. A little while ago, I got a phone call from a teacher at a school in Abingdon, where I lived, and this teacher phoned me up and he says, excuse me, ringing you, he says, I've heard about you from some other people in the town, and I wanted you to come in and talk to our GCSE pupils in the GCSE course. There's a bit on miracles, and I've heard that you've been to some other countries and seen some miracles. Could you come to our form room and just tell your story about what you believe about miracles now? And so I went in to this school. Kids came in. I'm not interested in this. I'll re-lesson me again. And the teacher said, we've had some ministers in, but it's a little bit boring because they say, you know, Jesus doesn't really heal today because we got the NHS and others in the medical service, all great, you know, and it's all like that. And he says, But it sounds a little bit more interesting, what you've seen. So I went in and I said, I believe God does miracles, and he does them today. For instance, on Sunday morning, a lady came into our church. She had a neck ache, and her back had gone, and she came in like this and said, Roger and Di, that's my wife, could you pray for me? It says, I was lifting the paint, and my back went out. I was pulling the wallpaper, and my neck has clicked and gone, and there's pain all down my neck. I said, yeah, come on, we'll pray for you. So this is what we like doing, something we learned from a guy called Ian Andrews, who came to Stroud years ago and prayed for lots of us. And if we had back pain, he would put our legs together, measure them, and then we'd pray, and we'd see our legs grow out. Now, medics, I know it's not to do with actual legs growing. It's to do with muscles relaxing and even vertebra straightening where they've been out. And so he would do that, and we would pray. So I said to this lady, could you sit down, put her legs together? And we prayed, and her leg grew like that. And she felt warmth coming down her back. And she said, oh, that's better. So I said, right, let's try the neck now. Put her arms together, threw her arms together like that. And there was a little bit of difference in the length of her arms. Again, Ian Andrews taught us to do that. Put her hands under, just prayed in Jesus' name, and her arm grew. So this was Sunday morning. I was saying this was Sunday morning. And this lady phoned up in the afternoon. I know I shouldn't be decorating on a Sunday. I'm meant to be resting, but I'm just decorating. I thought you'd like to know that because God's answered those prayers. So, and we were thrilled. Anyway, one girl on the left-hand side in this class said, I've got a shoulder, it has been frozen, and I can't move it, and I've had it for ages. Will you pray for me? I said, look, I'm really sorry. We're in a classroom, we can't pray. Now, but, you know, by all means, come to one of these meetings or, you know, people would love to pray for you, I'm sure. She said, that's not fair. You tell us these stories of what's happening and you won't do anything about it. And I said, no, we can't do it in the classroom right now. And then a guy at the back said, yeah, and I've got this back pain. It goes all through my back, on down my leg here. And he says, can you pray for me, please? And I said, no. And then at this point, the teacher sort of quite liked his students lightening up a bit and being a bit interested. And he said, Roger, the bell goes at the end of this period. And then they have free time. This is their free time. I'm going to allow you permission to pray for those kids, if you want. And, you know, you can say yes to prayer. And I looked at him, and so I said, your teacher takes full responsibility for anything that might happen, but we are prepared to pray for those people, if you want. Anybody else? So, bell goes. Some of the kids go outside. I expect two people to come to the front. Half the class stays in. The other half of the class goes outside, tells their friends that there's something interesting happening and there's a guy that believes in miracles and you're going to see a miracle. So come, you know, isn't it interesting? The world sometimes is more eager than we are to say. And they believe it more, you know. And so then the whole classroom filled up. And so I thought, this isn't what I bargained for. So I got the girl out and I thought, well, we just do what we normally do. So I got her to put her arms together. She put her arms together like that. And one arm was a whole hand shorter than the other. And her shoulder could clearly see what had frozen. I said, could you do that again, please? Hoping it would be more like that the second time. She did it again. Same thing. Now, we're used to praying little bits like that, but a whole hand and a neck and shoulder coming right, it's not in my repertoire. And so I had two student girls with me who'd come to be part of the time. And so I said, could you put your hand in her neck? I'll put my hand underneath, and we're going to pray inside. I went like this. Help! God, Lord Jesus, if nothing happens, we're going to look stupid. We're going to look stupid. And you and us. But outside, I did what the Bible tells us to do and our pastors tell us to do, pray in faith. So I said, in Jesus' name, neck, shoulder, come back into line, be healed. And this girl, there in the in front of her, goes, ah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And she was wobbling, so we held her up. And her arm grew all the way like that. And some of the kids, their eyes were like saucers. They, whoa, I've never seen anything like that. No, you can't convince kids. You can't trick them. And then another kid said, that's a trick. You've learned how to do that as a trick. And the little guy in front, he was holding on the desk like this. He says, no, it's not a trick, he says, because I can feel it now. And then was flat on the floor like this. And then another kid started crying, and another kid said, I didn't used to believe in God, but I think I'm changing my mind. And then the guy with her back, he came and he sat down. Another girl came with a, she was running in a race, and she said, could you pray for my ankle? I've strained my ankle and I can't run in this race. I've been training for a race and I can't run in it. So we prayed and she began to shake all over like this. She'd never been to a, you know, Toronto meeting or anything like that, and she was shaking all over, and her friends were saying, look, 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 what's happening to her? He says, it's all right. It's just God working and doing it. She ran in the county race 2 days later, having had a sprained ankle, and came second. I just think God is good. He's encouraging. Another little girl came up and said, please, will you pray for me? I said, yeah, go on, tell us what. She said, I just feel unclean inside and I want to be forgiven. I said, but we've not talked about this. I said, I know, but I can feel it. I can feel it. Power of God comes so that people can get right with him, get cleansed with him. He doesn't just do powerful stuff to say, wow, look at that, folks. It is for a purpose that lives find him and people find Jesus. And so what I'm trying to say is some of us need to go. And when we go, things happen. When we go out there, things happen. Oh, come on, Roger, keep going. That's one thing. Second thing is to obey. Do what he says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, then he said to the man out there with a horrible withered hand, stretch forth your hand. And the man stretched it forth. So he stretched it out and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Some years ago, I was in Chennai in India with my pastor, Steve, and I was speaking to a group of young people. And I'd spoken to them and I'd sort of shared how we need to work out our faith and work it out with one another and not just go to messages and leave it there. So take action, have a go at praying. And so these young people, I talked about backs getting healed, and I said 90% of people have different length legs because of things that have taken, loads that they've taken in life, ladies who carry their babies on one side, accidents you've had. And so it's quite good fun to see what God does if you sit down and put their legs together. Now, all these young people, they did exactly as I asked. They sat down in groups and started praying for one another. And two of these lads were praying for their friend. And his legs started to grow out, and they were just really encouraged. But this guy's leg that they were praying for had a twisted leg, and he'd walk with his twisted leg like that. And lots of the guys had really nice girlfriends, but this particular guy, he didn't get a girlfriend because maybe it wasn't quite as attractive as going out as a guy with a limp like this. Anyway, they just felt sorry for him. So as they were praying for his leg to come out, they said, and may the twist in his leg come out and straighten too. And as they were praying, the twist in his leg came out and it grew out straight. Now, they'd been obedient to the little bit, and then they got a little bit more creative and went a bit further. That Sunday morning in the fellowship at Chennai, it was electric. Some people had got healed in the training and the workshops, and these young guys, we didn't know about it, but then the guy who'd been healed got up and he said, "Do you remember how I used to walk?" He says, "Well, they prayed for me, my friends. Look at me walk now." And he walked up in front of everybody, just applauding. God is good. You know, I'm trying to encourage this. Why not have a go about being obedient to God when he says, "I want you to go out. I want you to get out there." Like he told his disciples, he says, "Go with the message of the kingdom, heal the sick, drive out those that are demonically oppressed and in difficulty, drive out those things and heal the sick, and I am with you." And we've got to be obedient, and we've got to do a bit of getting out there and having a go. Now, if you're a little bit introvert, it's more difficult. If you're an extrovert, you love being out in the attention. I love it, being out there. This says, "Roger, can you speak in the public and do something in public?" And I'm going, "Yippee, I've got a chance to speak to all these people." That's not everybody. But we need to be obedient and have a go. And so I just want to encourage you, be obedient, because those people were. And coming down to land, last bit. It says, the third thing I've realized over time, it's not so much the analysis of, did I pray right? Does God want to do it now or then? Or what's wrong? Is it some sin? Rather than that, over the years, I began to see it's more to do with the kingdom of God coming. His rule and his authority and his power, his kingdom coming. So we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, Jesus called the 12 and he said, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons, cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt." We don't need all the extras. "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the house." That's politeness. That's seeing the man of peace, as it were. "If people do not welcome you, don't worry about it. Leave their town, dust off your feet, and don't let it get to you." You know, what I find with a lot of people's stories is that, listen, I've just been rejected. Sometimes I've tried to pray, I've had a go, I've had pain. I just don't want to keep doing that. I said, "Listen, come." And we try and help them pray for somebody. With kids, when I'm praying for legs to grow, I try not to do any of it myself now. I get them to put their finger in there. They see the leg a different length. They say, "Could you just put your finger on the short one?" They put their finger on the short one, and I just say this after me, "In Jesus' name." And before they've got "in Jesus' name," the leg is starting to grow in front of them. And they're so excited because they're seeing, they're touching something of the kingdom of God, God's rule, his power. And he loves to do it. Okay, last testimony. I had a lady at the fellowship I was in last fellowship in Henley. And she'd gone through a very difficult time, had a lot of medical issues, and then had increasingly mental health difficulties along with it. So much so that she needed to go into hospital. And there was a private hospital they were able to get her into, and she was not doing well. And it was so difficult for her. We were all praying for her. And then I got a call from the hospital, and the psychiatrist who was dealing with her case said, we have just seen with this lady that her faith in the church she goes to is quite important in her life, and we are making no headway whatsoever. All the medication, all our usual methods are just not working with her. And I have prescribed to her that this, this prescription is that the pastor of the church needs to come in to the hospital and see her. We need to say we do not have people in from the outside and we don't have pastors in. But on this occasion, I have prescribed it. So would you come in? These are the conditions to which you come in. And once you have seen this lady, you will report to me to see what's, you know, you've said and what you've done. So yeah, yeah, just a few little sort of checks there and balances. So I said, I'd love to come in. So I came in. And this lady, amongst all the medical and the health things and the depression and everything, when I asked a little bit, it went back to an occasion when she was really low and she hadn't been doing well as a believer. She saw this picture of Jesus rubbing her name out of the book of life. These beautiful scriptures about him writing our names on his hand and us being in the book of life. Revelation speaks about it. And she'd seen her name scrubbed out and had believed, it was a lie, she believed this lie that because of her inability to get out of the depression and to sink into this sickness and be in hospital like this, that her name had been wiped out of the book of life. And so as we talked to her, I said, do you realize this is a deceptive lie of the enemy? And for the first time, she said, I think you're right. So we got her. We did a little bit of training with something called Sozo, and they get you to look to see what the lie is, then to renounce the lie, and then ask Jesus for the truth, and just listen to the truth. So we got her to renounce this lie, and she did. So she said, I renounce this lie that I've been scrubbed out of your book of life, and you no longer want to have anything to do with me. I renounce the lie. And she was crying a bit. And I said, right, now, let's ask Jesus to show you what the truth is. So she says, Jesus, show me the truth. And as we were there in this hospital room, all funny medical things all around, and she gets this picture of Jesus coming and writing her name back in the book of life. She says, I can see Jesus writing my name back in the book of life again. He's doing it, I'm in there. And she just cried and cried. So we didn't do much more. We just prayed a bit for her, blessed her, and then I went out and reported. I said, we've seen her, we've spent a bit of time, chatted about a few things, let's see how she is. A couple of days later, I got a phone call from the psychiatrist. I want you to come back in, please. I said, what have I done? I said, we have been trying for weeks, and I think it was by then months, not gone anywhere. We want to know exactly what you said, because she has turned completely around and will no longer need to be here and is fit to go home. But before she goes home, I want to know what you said. And so we told him what we said. He said, I'm not a Christian, and I don't believe in a God. Says, but when you talk, I think I've got to do a little bit of revision and new thinking about it, because this person is totally different. And it's one of those things we would call a miracle. The kingdom of God came. The kingdom of what God needs to come in loads of people's situations. His kingdom needs to come down. I'm here just to encourage you. I'm 70. I haven't got lots. I'm still pretty active. and on fire, I haven't got lots of time to keep on encouraging people and taking people and saying, come on, we can have a go at this. Because the kingdom is about the good news of the kingdom, and it has a whole lot of people getting touched and healed and set free and delivered, and doors that are being closed opening. I'm going to throw this in. When I came into this building, I liked it. But I felt as if the Lord said, there's a building closer to the center of things in Stroud that God wants to open to this fellowship. And there are many more that are going to come in and find him. There are days of renewal coming. I just feel that we need to be people who carry it out. There's a lot, lot more people in Stroud that need a touch of the kingdom of God, a touch of this good news, that they can be saved and forgiven like that girl. And the power of God's around to transform situations. Do it, Lord, I pray. Okay, let me do my little bit, and then we can just have a bit of prayer and a bit of worship because time is gone. There's a lady here, and you have sciatica. It's in your left leg. It goes down your left leg, and you struggle with sciatica. On and off, I don't know who you are, but God is here, and he wants to touch you and bring about healing. I just need to say something. Don't judge it on one time of prayer, whether you believe in this stuff or not. It's good to have a go and then come back again and have another go. There are many people here who've tried it once or twice. It hasn't worked out, so you've abandoned it. Can I say to you, and just encourage you, you wouldn't do that if you got an illness and you went to the doctor. He gave you something and it didn't work. You wouldn't go, I'm never going back to the doctor again. But some people treat Jesus like that. And so I want to encourage you, have another go. Somebody else, you have inflammation in the kidneys. And there is a lot of, you get some kidney, signs of kidney trouble and difficulty, and there's inflammation. God wants to touch that. Listen, I'm not a medic. My daughter-in-law is studying medicine, and I'm going to give these words of knowledge and say, what does this mean? And what does that mean? I'll get it sorted someday before I die. And anyway, there's third one. There's somebody who has a skin rash, and you keep on having these skin rashes, and they come and they go, but they're very uncomfortable, and all parts of your body, a lot of soreness with it. And I felt God wanted to heal that. And this person wants to help show that he wants to bring freedom from anxiety, because connected with the rash is a lot of anxiety that's in your life. And he wants to bring some new security. There's somebody who's twisted their ankle. I told that story about the guy with the ankle, but there's somebody else. You've had a twist in your ankle, and you have pain up your ankle. He wants to heal that. There's somebody else with neck pain. You've got pain that goes through the neck here, and it's difficult turning. And this is quite a long-standing thing, and he wants to touch that. There's a lady here, you have a hip problem, and you've battled with a hip problem since you had one of your children. And as a result of having one of your children, your hip went out slightly, and it hasn't actually gone back into the right place. And I felt the Lord say he wants to put that back in the right place today and bring about some healing for you. And then I felt him just say, simply, there are seven people here today who struggle with quite difficult back problems. You find it difficult sitting for any period of time because your back is painful. And he just wants to come and bring some release. And I've often been with people and they said, Roger, you encourage people and then you have little words about back pain. What's that? You know, that's such a titchy little thing. Let me tell you something. If you've had back pain over a long period of time and you get healed, like some of these people are testifying to, their lives and their joy opens out, and because they're free from it, they can do. Secondly, I learned this, that on the way, if we're faithful in the little, God will give us more and bigger things start to happen. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Thank you for that lovely time of prayer we had earlier on, all sorts of things happening. You want to do more. You want to bring about your healing, your restoration. Could you come? I pray in Jesus' name to do all that you said you wanted to do and more. We pray more of the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Roger.